Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and annual results conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining this call, which is to discuss the quarter four of FY 2011 and financial year 2011 results. So, as usual, I will take you through the results, and then we will open it up for Q&A. And for Q&A, I will be joined by Mr. Pawar, Chairman of the company, Rajendran, Chief Operating Officer, Raghavan, who's the Chief Executive of the Career Building Solutions, Sapnesh Lalla, who's also joined us from the U.S. today for the Learning Solutions for Enterprises, Investor Relations, and finance people to help us answer these questions. So, without further ado, I would like to talk about the last quarter in terms of first the environment and then how the results and what is the interpretation of results from my point of view. So, in terms of the environment, I think while the economic condition in the country seemed favorable and positive despite inflation and rising interest, and of course, rising interest rates aimed at controlling that, we did have a fairly stable quarter in terms of exchange fluctuations, though we did have some loss coming out of the exchange in growth, especially. We saw a strong hiring sentiment across employers. IT and banking sector were very predominant in terms of the hiring patterns. Education and skills development remains a top agenda with much more participation by private sector, as well as we saw corporate sector business confidence returning. U.S. markets are showing recovery in terms of training spend, and Europe is looking at outsourcing activity fairly seriously. So this was the environment in which we had the last quarter. Just to put the year in a perspective, as before I do that, in this year, our focus has been on reorganization of our businesses in a manner that we strengthen our balance sheet, as well as focus on high returns, high growth, more annuity revenue-driven businesses. So it is in that context that we have had the whole year. So the consolidated system-wide revenue for this quarter was up 9% year-on-year at 5.168 billion. Net revenues were at 3.237 million, up 10% year-on-year. EBITDA was at a lower level at 13%, nearly 300 basis points drop over the same period last year, and I'll explain each one of these. Profit before tax was up at 19% year-on-year. Net profit was at 378 million, which is up 53% year-on-year. So a top line of 10% revenue growth in by itself has a number of initiatives behind it, which I would like to explain. But I thought at the first instance, the 53% growth in profit is actually contributed by an exceptional, extraordinary entry, which is divestment of a non-operative asset, which caused the other income to go up, and I'll explain that in greater detail. What contributed to this performance in this quarter was fairly decent growth in all the leading indicators, because IT career enrollments showed a robust growth. Banking enrollments were very impressive. Order intake in corporate learning solutions, especially in learning products and managing services, were very strong. And in the process, a larger proportion of annuity and IP-based revenue that we built, which also has a strong future visibility. In terms of individual levels of business, in individual business, our system-wide revenue grew 7%, net revenue grew at 8% year-on-year. In IT part of the individual learning business, net revenues grew 7% and EBITDA was at 23%, which is the same level as last year. New businesses had a growth of 28% year-on-year, and that's what contributed to individual learning business growing 8% year-on-year. In schools, we had a growth on a year-on-year basis at 16%, which is essentially contributed by the private school initiative, where we had been working on building a strong sales force as well as launching the new genre product, which we have announced during the previous quarter, and a large amount of those initiatives yielded very good results, many in this quarter, and I think many more to come in the following months. In corporate, net revenues were up 9% year-on-year, but not visible in this is the impact of exchange, which would have resulted in another 3%, 2 to 3%, or 200 to 300 basis points improvement in growth. EBITDA at 119 million was at the same level of 8% margin as last year. Overall, private school sign-ups grew very well. The order intake for private schools grew 79%, and the corporate order intake was at $40 million, which included two substantial managed training services deals, which are multi-year, multi-million dollars, one from a global technology major and one from an insurance company, which have contributed to this order intake and will, after 1 year, contribute to visibility of a revenue stream over the next 4 years as well. Moving on to consolidated financials, the growth in revenue did get affected by adverse exchange impact. So the 3.237 billion rupees of revenue has a $33 million impact, about 1%, on U.S. dollar denominated revenue. Similarly, we had an adverse exchange rate as well as impact of people cost and increase in rentals and adverse rental increases, which caused the operating expenses to be higher. As we had talked about it in the previous quarter, this is a quarter which we are using as a quarter for getting ready for certain launches in individual learning space in the coming season, transitioning expenses as we begin to implement large managed training services deals, and lastly, in the private schools to gear up the sales force as well as our delivery and logistics capability to be able to service the large number of schools that we have added. Many of these expenses have contributed to the subdued margin that we have during this this quarter. At the balance sheet level, we had a reduction in net debt, as we had mentioned at the beginning of the year. Our focus was to improve the quality of capital employed, and therefore we focused specifically on release of capital from lower return businesses such as the government ICT contracts and schools, as well as reducing debtors, especially in the government schools business. The debtors at the end of the quarter stood at 3.898 billion. But what is not visible there are certain large payments which came immediately at the year end, in fact, first week of April, which have reduced these substantially over the month. Also, we had a very good month in Element K in terms of order intake and invoicing, which results in collection only in the following 30 to 40 days, in which we have already got and experienced the benefit of those collections. Otherwise, the debtor situation, given that we were able to have collected some sticky debtors, should have improved substantially. Overall, if one was to look at the year, if we see the net revenue, it has grown 4% year on year. But if you provide for the one-time benefit of a pass-through income which we got last year, as well as corrected if you just account for the pass-through income, the growth would have been 9% on a year-to-year basis. But even in this 9% is not visible impact of foreign exchange, which would have contributed another about 200 basis points in terms of improvement in growth. As also, what is not visible is the substantial reorganization that was done of the businesses, especially the schools business, because on a year-on-year basis, the schools business is flat after accounting for the one-time pass-through income. And within that is the de-emphasis on government schools, which has contributed to that. So, overall, in the learning solutions business, we had a growth of 10% year-on-year and a margin which is up at the same level as last year. In schools, we had a margin erosion because of reorganization as well as gearing up for the alternate strategy that we adopted during the year. And in corporate, we had both an improvement in margin and improvement in volume, as also a large order intake of $40 million, which finished with an order book of $98.2 million at the end of the year. Moving on to discussion on each of the businesses, in individual learning solutions, for the quarter, our enrollments were up 19% year-on-year. In engineers, the engineers program, the enrollments are up 33%. Overall enrollments were up 12%. And we had a very strong growth in placements, up 43% year-on-year. But on a financial year level, overall level, our enrollments were 6%. The way I look at this is that quarter four parameters on all leading indicators are better than the annual parameters, which actually reaffirms the fact that the work that was started at the beginning of the year towards the end of the year had begun to give results. So during the year, we had single-digit enrollment growth in most of the ILS IT businesses, and in this, overall enrollment growth was 12% and career enrollment grew up 19%. The same is the story with placements, which have been growing better year-on-year basis in each of the quarters. Overall, the pending order book in FY11 for individual IT business was 1.106 billion and about 66% executable in the next 12 months. In individual learning business, another very important thing to maintain is that we started the year with a comparatively lower order book given the recession of the previous year. And as we had discussed in third quarter, we were entering fourth quarter with a very, very low order book. So while the enrollment growth was robust in this quarter, it did not make up sufficiently for the lower order book that we inherited at the beginning of the quarter. In schools, we added 196 non-government schools, which reflects a 94% increase year on year. We created a strong order book, and the fact that non-government school revenue grew at 26% year on year and contributed 44% of revenue. So at the end of the year, the non-government revenue is 40%, which shows that even that percentage of revenue as a percentage of total is increasing, which is the strategy that we had adopted. Over the year, we added 581 non-government schools, which is up 76% year on year in terms of sign-ups. And the pending order book is now at 4.402 billion rupees, of which 30% is executable in next 12 months. In corporate learning solutions is where we had the maximum order intake as such, having signed two large managed training services deals in this quarter, which contributed to the order intake. The other significant addition was online learning products orders, which contributed to the revenues as well, and we had a 12% volume growth in this business, even though in revenue we only see 9%, the rest being the impact of the forex. Our margins in this business were lower than last year for two reasons. One, as we had talked about it last year, we had some licenses-based orders which had created high margins in the quarter, and we had talked about those not being sustainable as we go forward. But the other important issue is we were also impacted by transition costs in implementing these large managed services orders. All these investments are going to contribute to a step up in revenue in the corporate learning solutions in the coming year and, in fact, in the next few years. In FY11, therefore, we had a 13% volume growth, driven by a strong growth in managed training services, 38%, and learning products, 18% year on year. Now, we opened the year with one MTS deal, with one MTS contract, which we have the permission to use the name of the customer, which is Philips. But over the year, we have added five more customers, one of whom is an upgrade from a projects customer to a managed training services customer, and four new customers, of which two were added in last quarter alone. We totally had an order intake of $138 million during the year, and closing the year with an order book of $98.2 million, as I mentioned before. Corporate learning solutions once again has shown two interesting trends. One, quarter on quarter, the growth over the same period last year has been improving, so which means an accelerating growth for us. Second is in terms of margin, has been same or better in each of the quarters and as we go forward. And the other important part is that the percentage of the annuity and IP-based revenue, which is the learning products and managed training services revenue, have been increasing and is now 56% of the total revenue. I just want to remind ourselves that we were essentially a project-based company and over a period have transformed ourselves into a more annuity-based revenue company. New businesses have grown 28% during the year. Our enrollments in the finance and management training space were up 177%, and in our IFBI crossed the 10,000 placement mark in this quarter, having placed more than perhaps the largest number of bankers which anybody else has done in the industry. Overall enrollments during the year were up 82%. Our overall IP-led revenue as a percentage of total revenue continues to show an increase, which is 44%. Our headcount increased with a net addition of 184 people in this quarter, taking the total headcount to 4,157. So I would stop here at this point of time and invite questions and discussion on the results, and then we can take it forward from there. And as I mentioned, joining me in the Q&A will be other senior members of the NIT team. Operator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital Market. Please go ahead.
See, whatever you say just now, Mr. Thadani, one can see that, you know, the revenue, the order books is better. Probably lots of expenses have already been initiated, much of it expensed out, and the debt is also getting reduced. So can you say that we are at an inflection point? We are the past few years which had low growth, those days are over?
Yes. Thanks for asking that question. I think last couple of years, we have actually been working in dealing with the economy, and then the dealing with the effects of the economy on the overall business of the company. We had in this process built up a balance sheet which was becoming unfavorable for us to support future growth in an aggressive manner. And therefore, it was important for us to reorganize our business in terms of getting into higher return businesses, building more predictability through annuity revenues, increasing the margin by improving the percentage of IP-based revenues, and lastly, reducing or improving the quality of balance sheet by making sure that we have the non-operative assets monetized as soon as possible. I think a lot of that work has been completed. The balance sheet has been definitely made more robust because of the reduction in debt caused by lowering of debtors on a comparative basis, as well as monetizing some non-operative assets. I would not say that issue is complete as yet, because we still have government debtors which we are collecting. And as I mentioned, we did get about 25 crores in the first week from one of the long-standing government debtors, which would make a positive movement. In fact, there have been other positive movements during the year. So I would say on that, on the strengthening of balance sheet, the initiative, a lot has happened, but much more can be done. As far as reorganizing the business is concerned, in the government school business, we've been able to de-emphasize that business substantially and are being extremely selective in dealing with new orders. And private school momentum has picked up, so that is also, I think, on a positive track, and we can therefore say that that part is behind us. On corporate learning solutions, given the heavy emphasis on discretionary spend, I think the move towards learning products as well as managed training services will get us out of that activity. And I think we have a robust revenue line visibility for the next 5 years based on the contracts that we have we have picked up. And in individual learning solutions, in addition to the market returning back in terms of our preparation, I think two initiatives, one NIIT, we call it one NIIT because we would like all centers to be able to offer all products, whether IT or banking or BPO, and that would increase our reach substantially. And a new delivery platform, which is very significant because it will change the student learning experience dramatically. And that platform is being rolled out. That work has happened partly in last year, and part of it will continue in the first two quarters of this year. But after that, yes, I can say that we would be done in terms of reorganization and getting ready. But in terms of revenue growth, we are beginning to see the revenue growth already in all the businesses that we had reworked on. And the market anyway continues to remain strong in those areas. So we are looking forward to putting this period of reorganization behind us and go ahead with higher growth as we go forward.
Can you just elaborate on that one NIIT concept you just talked about? What is that exactly?
Yeah. So today we have for our IT training, we have a large number of centers, right?
Okay.
And then when we launched our banking financial services training, then we opened, it's a new institution and had to make sure that we get, it gets the right focus, we set up about 30 centers which were separate. And we set up the management training activity along with that so that the capacity utilization could be done better. So finance and management training created some centers. Then when we got into BPO training, that created some more centers and separate sales teams. In one NIIT, we are making sure that at the product management level and at a promotion level, we have the independence as well as and delivery level. We have the independence and specialization which each one of these requires. But at the front end level, it should be possible for us to combine forces between all. Now, that's a very powerful initiative because you can imagine that IFBI, if it was available only in 35 centers, will in 3 months' time be available at 100 centers. And in another short period of time, will be available in many, many more centers. So, the IT training got an enhanced reach because they got the benefit of addressing the capacity which was available in the finance and banking institute center. What is also very significant is that it allows us to integrate the workforce in a manner that the consolidation will lead to better operating efficiencies as well.
Okay, just one question. See, you right now just now said that you have 35 IFBI centers. Now, if it is rolled out to, say, 100 centers, so will you be getting the requisite faculty also?
Yes. So to make sure that we are able to organize the faculty appropriately, the new delivery model allows us to use technology to make live faculty available at locations where there may not be adequate momentum to start with.
Okay.
As well as will give us a chance to accelerate our hiring in a manner that we are getting ready for the higher growth that we are looking for.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thadani.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star.
Operator, you are very, your volume is very low, and I'm wondering if that's going to be the case with others because they may not be able to hear us.
I'll make it clear.
Yeah, this is fine. Thank you.
All right. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
Related to the segments, so last time when we discussed the earnings, you said there was some restructuring going on in the ILS segment.
Yes.
So is that phase over or this quarter's growth was impacted by that restructuring?
I'll ask Raghu to answer that. He is familiar with those specific details. Raghu.
Yeah. Last time, good afternoon, thanks for the question. Last time when we talked specifically about restructuring of channel in what we call as the rest of the world market. So So that work is over. You're right in saying that part of the revenue low growth in the international market, non-China, non-India, individual market, is partly caused by that. So you can take that as kind of over. But I think the larger picture is what Vijay talked about in terms of one NIIT program where we will enable all centers to be able to market and or deliver products of banking finance, BPO, and management. That is one part. The other part is the delivery new 9.0, what we call as delivery 9.0, is basically a new delivery mechanism, which, among other things, involves connecting of many centers through VSAT, which we have done up to close to about 100 centers we're connected, that enables us to offer programs with expert faculty, even when the number of students in each of the locations is not necessarily a full batch. So these two are fundamental things that we've done. Restructuring specifically you're talking about is related to the international channel distribution restructuring that we have carried out in a couple of markets.
So if I understood it correctly, next couple of months would also be hit due to that restructuring, because it will take some time to recover from there.
Well, in the light of the larger picture, the impact of that restructuring will become lesser and lesser, but I don't expect this to go anything beyond the coming quarter.
Okay, sure. And when you say one NIIT, I guess you are going to retain all your brands as it is, right? Or you will be...
Oh, yes. No, one NIIT is an internal name. It's not... It's the name of the initiative. It's not a brand.
It's not a rebranding exercise.
No. IFBI has a brand identity of its own. NIIT Career Learning has its own identity. So each of the components have. So brands will remain. One NIIT is more an internal initiative to put all the heads together to drive faster growth with available capacity.
Sure. And second is on SLS. So EBITDA margins fell significantly. Can you split it? What would have been the picture if we exclude the restructuring charges from the EBITDA in this quarter?
First of all, school learning solutions, the restructuring is in the form of de-emphasis of government business. And we have not, if you notice, started any new contract during last 1 year.
Government contract.
Right. We did not start any new government contract, even though we had received an order in the first quarter, but that in its implementation got delayed because of political issues in that particular state. That is now behind. So during the year, we did not start any new government contract. Now, that obviously led to a lower operating leverage because you had your teams, in a sense, available. However, in private schools, on the other hand, where Jan, Feb, March is a very important quarter for increasing your awareness and sales effort, we had put special effort to increase the sales activity. And in the private schools, we are not, and we added more salespeople as well. So the margin in school does not include a restructuring charge as such, but it is the gearing up activity on one hand and lower operating leverage because the overall revenue levels were lower. That is the contributor.
So the team which is there for the government schools, although you are not adding any contracts, that team is not transferable to any other private school contract?
No, they are. And there are continuing government school contracts which have to be serviced, number one. Number two, as I mentioned, that the contract which we had received first week quarter of last year, which could not take off because of now that situation has been sorted out. So from this quarter, that implementation will also start.
So as and when it starts, how should we expect this margin to move in FY12?
In FY12, we would definitely see an improvement in this margin we were steadily improving our margin before we took the decision on government schools. We were steadily improving, and then for the last two or three quarters that we were reorganizing ourselves, our margins had dipped, the lowest being, I think, in this quarter. I don't think that is a situation which is to recur, because that part of organization is over. They are gearing up their sales force as we go forward. The successes have been very encouraging. So they would like to gear the sales force and grow the top line activity based on new schools added. The new schools are at good profitable margins. So there will be a margin improvement to the tune of, we had worked that out. And we'll just share that with you. There will be a margin improvement, and of course there is a top line improvement as well.
And on the CLS, EBITDA margin again,
yes.
Can you split the impact of Forex and the transition cost, and what sort of transition costs are these? Are they ongoing as you win projects, or how does these costs move?
Yeah. So typically, Forex impact is very small in the CLS margins in this quarter.
Okay.
It's only 6 million rupees is the total foreign exchange impact on EBITDA. But on the top line, there will be an impact, okay?
Yeah.
The important question to address here is that when you have a large managed training services contract, the selling cycle itself is 7 or 8 months. The contract negotiation period is typically 3 to 4 months. In this particular case, and it's a fairly substantial order, the contract finalization from transitioning to contract finalization took 6 months. Now, much of that does not get into the revenue stream. So you actually gear up your teams and bear those expenses, but then as the revenue comes in, then that gets made up for. So now that the contract is signed, we have already started the implementation of the large contract which we just got, which is adding nearly $10 million in the first year itself, and that is what is included in our order intake, and we have another 4 years to go after that, given the contract, and there will be improvements in that. Then the contract margin will start coming in, but before that we had not clocked sufficient revenue to look after those costs.
Okay. And on your guidance on new businesses, do you still maintain that FY12 break-even guidance?
Yes. In fact, there are two things which I would like to mention since you asked the question. As we move into one NIIT, which we have been working on, the line between different businesses and keeping a track of their separate accounting is becoming more and more thin. So going forward, as I had been saying right through last year, we would start now giving a consolidated view of individual learning solutions. And for reconciliation, we would send you the individual learning solutions performance. In fact, put it up on our web database so that individual IT and new businesses put together performance is available for the last 4 quarters. And therefore, this year, we can compare our performance going forward.
Okay, and just one follow-up on the exceptional item.
Yes.
That has been added in other income.
So that was, there was also a release which we had made to the stock exchange as well as others. Just to explain to you, we had a total net gain of, just one moment. First, in other income, we had a net interest of 74 million. We had the divestment of the non-operative assets, which caused a 215 million gain. Fortunately, in that we had passed tax benefits available. So there was hardly any taxation on that. And we had a 72 million rupees contribution to NIT University corpus based on the permissions that, based on the approvals and permissions that we have for the last 2 or 3 years. We had a forex impact of 9 million adverse, and therefore the total was coming to 75 million for the quarter, positive.
And can you please help me understand the NIIT University line item, the contribution from the corpus?
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, the NIIT had participated in the NIIT University project, and I'll ask Mr. Pawar to talk more about that if you would like to, but first to explain the financial item. And we had approved a certain corpus participation from NIIT. That was, if I remember, 150 million rupees to be done over the years. And this year, the contribution was 72 million rupees. Of the amounts that have been cleared by the corpus, have been cleared under that, 150, 72 this year. 15 was the previous year, which is 87, and the total approval was for 150 million. One more issue which I would like to point out, which contributed to this corpus, when the NIIT University transaction happened, at that time the land was, since university was not formed, was first allotted to NIIT Limited. And when the transfer of the land happened to university, there was in our books a capital gain, which we had talked about 3 years ago. And there was it was only natural that that capital gain should go in favor of university because the land was allotted for the purpose of university. So we had discussed this in that time and disclosed it at that time. And this is in fulfillment of that obligation.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Maheshwari from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Almost all my questions are answered, but in light of the commentary that you've given, can you also help us understand the future outlook and growth as well as a EBITDA target in each of your divisions?
Okay. So if you look at our, if I see the background of all that happened during last year, the impact of that will be definitely positive on the future growth. In individual learning business, now that I'll be talking about individual learning in totality, in contrast to IT separately and new businesses separately, and I'll keep giving you the equivalent number. In individual learning solutions business, last year we did 1018 million rupees, and we expect that over the year, because new business part and one NIIT implementation, as well as the momentum that we are seeing in the individual learning business, we see a revenue growth of 18% or thereabouts in forward terms. And this was 12% last year. The improvement in margin will, however, be small. In fact, we would start with perhaps a margin erosion in the first quarter on a comparative basis, but we'll recover that in the rest of the year. And that, as Raghu pointed out, is more to do with the implementation of restructuring as well as the new delivery platform. In case of, I will also ask, maybe the best is I ask Raghu to explain what will contribute to this, and then I'll move on to schools and others as well. So, quickly.
Okay. So, in terms of the one NIIT, it's a very powerful thing, wherein the IFBI product as well as the DPO training and management training will get several times the footprint than what they have had so far. That's an important aspect that will fuel growth. Not only growth from a customer and the enrollment standpoint, but also internally it will drive some efficiencies for the medium to long term. The second thing is the Delivery 9.0 project, which provides a new platform. Now, actually, we have just launched the new GNIT, which will run on this platform. Basically, it will be consisting of student devices, and we are eliminating printed courseware for these students. And they will also have 24/7 learning availability. So it's a completely new thing. So we will be launching, we just launched the GNIT product in that platform. Then we will be launching the postgraduate program in IT, which is a one-year program. It's a kind of a taken off the GNIT. And thirdly, there are about 36 lakh commerce students in the country. We are addressing them. We will be addressing them with very dedicated programs that will help them get on to many different streams that also involve IT. And in the banking side, apart from getting multiple footprints for the product, they will also get this probationary officers training, which is just piloted, but will be doing a national launch sometime in June. So we have a fairly good combination of strategy in terms of channel and going to market, and also products, as I just explained. And apart from that, we have launched some new products in the last quarter or so, like Android as well as the CHP. Those things will have certain volume growth as well. So the outlook is, we're pretty optimistic about the outlook.
Sure.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about corporate learning solutions. I would ask my colleague Sapnesh to talk about corporate.
Sure. On the corporate learning solutions business, as Vijay mentioned earlier, we continue with our strategy to focus on learning products as well as managed training services business engagements to drive both higher margins through IP-based solutions as well as higher predictability through annuity-based revenue lines. And that focus is going to continue. We will also focus on quality efforts so that there is no loss of customer or any effect of customer service. So we intend to continue to keep our existing customers and add a set of new customers in the coming year, resulting into a step function growth opportunity in the coming years.
And in terms of revenue, we are expecting on a constant exchange rate based on last year's exchange rate, a growth in volume to the extent of 18% to 19%. Last year we had done 13%. And in margin, we expect the margin to improve substantially. We were at an overall a margin of in the corporate learning business. Yeah, at 11% for the year, and we see on constant currency an improvement of 150 to 200 basis points. This is essentially fueled by the new orders that we have received in managed training services as well as in the learning product.
Okay. And in school...
I think I read out a wrong number for existing year, this year. This year was 8% and we see a 150 to 200 basis points improvement.
So against 8%, are you expecting volume growth of about 18 to 19%? Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. And is there a pricing increase also inclusive over and above this volume growth, or pricing expected to be?
No. In corporate learning solutions, if the contract gets signed for 5 years, there is no pricing increase. Sure. The reason I use the word volume is because exchange rate sometimes plays the hide and seek.
Fair enough. Okay. And the 18% growth that you mentioned in ILS was inclusive of the new business. Is that correct?
That's right.
So you said that individually you will also break into what could be in terms of IT and the new business. Is that
I in fact said it will become difficult to now break given the one NIT initiative where all of them are integrated and in same centers. Cost allocation will become difficult.
Okay.
And what I said was that we will give it to you for the previous four quarters in a consolidated manner so that you have a comparison point available.
Fair. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital. Please go ahead.
As far as the school learning solution goes, in case of private schools, can you talk about the market share of various players? Is NIT gaining market share? If you can just throw light on how the market, the contour of the market basically. I mean, where is NIT?
Yeah, Raju, would you like to respond?
Yeah. So, as far as the private schools are concerned, let me roll back. In 1999, 2000, when we started, we took off greatly into the government school space. And there, clearly, we are leaders year after year. Private schools is an activity which has started about three years back. And it is only now that we have put together probably the most comprehensive solution as far as schools are concerned. To answer your question on market share, I don't have the number. Right now, I can only say that we are small, but doubling almost every year in terms of number of schools.
Okay.
But I want to spend a minute on the portfolio.
Okay.
What most of you know about NIT in private or other schools is about setting up the IT lab, teaching IT, and some of you must have heard about the math lab where we started putting the math lab in schools to improve the academic performance of students in mathematics. Then we brought in the science lab so that the teacher could take a science lab, it's a mobile unit, into any classroom and teach because all the kids may not be able to go to the physical laboratory. And the last one is the extension of the learning lab, which this is in the offing, this will come out this year, where we connect the school to home. So for students, these are all the facilities which are coming out of the NIT offering. On the teacher side, so far it has been creating the interactive classrooms. We came out with our full suite of digital content for CBSE last year, towards the end, and we are still to see the impact of that this year as we scale up the interactive classroom and the digital content, which maps the complete CBSE syllabus. On teacher training, apart from the fact that we got 40 training modules, etc., we also certify teachers in our schools and schools at large on what's called the European standards. It's the EPIC standard, where we are the sole certifying agency in the country, which is a global certification. For example, the latest one is that continuous and comprehensive evaluation is an item which has been mandated by the CBSE. So that has also come into our purview as part of our teacher training. To tie all this together for the school specifically, we have a complete school management system, which is like an ERP which manages all the administrative functions, the school fees management, teacher payroll management, all of that, and interfaces the school's accounting system. So if you see it from this whole, comprehensive point of view, it is probably now that we have put together the complete offering for the private school, and from whatever I know, this is ahead of any one service provider in the country. We are to start seeing the effects of it next year. In the beginning of this year, the financial year under discussion, NIT schools salespeople were present only in 6 cities. By the end of the financial year, that is March 31st, we were in 38 cities. And going forward, by end of this current financial year, the new financial year, we will be in 90 cities. Right now, we are on a hiring of salespeople, sales manager over the last 2 months. and they are going to be trained and put into field during the month of June. I think that will make a dramatic change and impact in terms of the momentum of our private schools engagement.
Okay. How do you charge the schools? Is it on per student basis or it's a lump sum royalty basis? I mean, is it a one-time royalty?
Yeah, so the thing is, we are not in school just for delivering the IT content, for example. So if it is a pure, it's a contract where schools have the infrastructure, we have to just give the service of an IT content where we provide the material in the lab as well as provide the courseware. It could work on a per-student basis. And the school has to guarantee a certain minimum number of students from the school so that we can deploy our teachers, trainers, etc. But more and more, like I said, so for example, if you take this school ERP system under the name Quick School, now this is an entirely different set of people who are, this is a licensed product, we charge them for the license, and it can be multi-user license, and there are features, they could take some of the features but not all. Now we are moving into the cloud. So on this, it is purely license-based per school with annual maintenance over a period of time. So each piece is different, and when we make a comprehensive offer to the school, it in fact engages into NIT over a period of time on the school management system, into the classroom in terms of the interactive classroom, the complete solution that comes as number of classrooms into which we are to make from current static to new interactive classrooms. So that starts getting charged on a per classroom basis.
Okay.
Then comes the content and the delivery system, which will start happening on a per student basis. Now, depending on how the contract is, we may just provide them a number on a quarterly basis. In the license product, we would like to charge for the license and pick up the money as soon as we finish the installation in the first couple of months, and then it is on maintenance. So the whole space is changing as far as NIT is concerned after having put together this whole solution. So we will see this happening this year.
So are you starting some campaigns like Intel Insight sort of thing to make, I mean, see, as a father of a student, I'm not very sure whether my daughter's school is using NIT or not. So in order to, you know, expand the brand, are you thinking of some campaign sort of thing? So that
Yes, but we will start with you. And in your school, definitely we are coming. Okay. So you will see marketing. So far our marketing, you know, somehow we tie up the marketing to how much the affordability of spend based on the size of the function. That's how we have been working last 1 or 2 years. This year we have to change that, and our marketing is going to be pretty unique in the sense it's not just are you into the newspaper or are you into the web. We are going to work with the schools where we are already there and spread the message through the parents. You will start seeing our hoardings inside the schools, inside meaning facing outside.
Yeah.
When the school claims that admissions are open and come and admit your student here, you will also see the NIT NGuru enabled school.
Which absolutely. That's what I mean. So that, you know, when the school is advertising for students, it should be there, you know.
Yeah, so all that is in the plan.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Maheshwari from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up on your other plans towards maybe skill development on vocational skills or your entry into preschool. Have you evaluated those concepts? And we had earlier spoken on this, but there's nothing meaningful that has come up with it. Just struck me that a peer had actually come up with in a big way stating their joint venture with NSDC. And hence, I'd like your comments on this.
Yeah. So on skills development, we have been doing taking a number of initiatives, and in fact over the years have actually developed capability in many more disciplines beyond IT to service the sections of society where the skills development activity, as you know, these will be smaller towns with smaller buying, smaller budgets of individuals, different qualifications, and different job roles that these will get prepared for. Over the last many years, we have trained in the last 3 years nearly 60,000 people under a variety of projects, some sponsored by the government, some sponsored through CSR activity of companies, but in this process have learned the ropes. And as we speak, we have already commenced some activity last year in launching some small skills development centers in small cities. During the year, we do see that this activity will reach, will build momentum, but I think it will be too early to see whether it will have a dramatic impact on our financials during the year, but it is definitely a part of our going forward plans and an important part of our going forward plans. And we have a president-level person who is leading this initiative.
Can you define this area in terms of what is the scope of growth? What is the size of this opportunity? How are you? What is your revenue model in this space?
Okay. So while I would certainly like to do that in greater detail, and maybe this is also an opportune time for me to invite you tomorrow in Mumbai for the investor meet at 10:30 a.m. And by the way, this invitation is for everyone. It's at the Trident at Nariman Point.
Sure, thank you.
Rooftop, in the rooftop room, 10:30. And at that time, perhaps we can get into more detail because this is, while the ongoing initiatives are going on and they are part of some activity or the other, either they are in corporate learning solutions or in individual learning solutions. But, and we have built very good experience and price points and have a very good understanding of our end customer. I have talked about those from time to time on various calls as well as investor meets, but now I think we are beginning to monetize that that capability that we have created. And during this year, there will be a lot of work which will happen, and I think its impact on financials will start appearing perhaps from the following years.
Fair enough. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Vijay Thadani for closing comments.
Thank you very much. As usual, your insightful questions do give us things to work on as we go forward. I think we answered all the questions. Just in case we didn't, please do connect with Kapil Saurabh in investor relations or you're all most welcome to join us for an investor meet at 10:30 a.m. at the Hilton Rooftop, Mumbai. Trident Rooftop, my apologies. Trident Rooftop at Nariman Point at 10:30 a.m. on 11th of May. So thank you very much. Truly appreciate your cooperation and encouragement, and looking forward to meet all of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.